This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The Washington Post. Trump has some immunity. Justices rule, complicating Jan 6 case. Quoting from the Chief Justice who wrote the majority opinion in 6-3. A former president is entitled to absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for actions within his, quote, conclusive and preclusive constitutional authority. The Chief Justice goes on to say, there is no immunity for unofficial acts. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. A very good evening to you, Professor. What happens next? Good evening to you.
Well, down it goes to the Court of Appeals, down it goes then to the trial court. Then it probably is going to take a very long time to sort this mess out. Because if you look at the opinion, there are just allegations after allegations about everything that Trump did, Trump that he said publicly, something he said to state law officials, efforts to try to create alternative slates of balance, all the stuff with respect to Mike Pence. And as far as I can see, it will take several months at the very least to sort this out. And if I were the government at this point, I would drop the case. I think by the time they get done with trying to get around this case and the Fisher case, there just isn't enough left there to make this into a credible prosecution. Remember, this is a very political administration, just the way the Trump administration was political. And so I don't think that there's very much likelihood that they're going to put up the white flag saying at this particular point in time, the only thing that we could do with this case is to distract from the election. So it's a huge victory for Trump, and it's such an utter difference in tone between this and what happened in the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia that your eyes kind of shake and boggle at watching what has happened. And I think it's really important to understand the key feature with respect to this argument. Let's start with the view that the president is entitled to official immunity for acts that are done inside the scope of his office. And this has sort of been fairly clear since the Fitzpatrick case and a bunch of other stuff. So the question then is, he's now out of office. What happens to that immunity? The sensible thing is to say he has to have it because if he knows that he doesn't have it after he's in office, then de facto he knows that he doesn't have it, period, because it's just a matter of time before these things will be done. And so what you have to do is to say that whatever immunities that he had during the office are the same immunities that he has afterwards, because otherwise the true dominant fear is that political opposition can, in fact, weaponize the entire situation. And every foreign president is going to be subject to this risk. And the same thing, of course, is true with respect to Joe Biden and all of his various prosecutions. Could somebody say that the effort to try and go after Trump is itself a violation of office? And so he's not immune when he's out of office. You cannot live in that particular universe. And so the premise that had been previously given was it's the current president who talks about the immunity of the previous president, which is completely untenable, totally unstable, and utterly indefensible. So then he has it. So the question then is what's going to count as something that is outside the scope of this? Well, I mean, the first thing you then have to do is to figure out what kind of stuff would count as a purely private act. And it seems to me that what you have to do is to get away from anything associated with an election, one kind or another. And so a purely private action would be if Donald Trump was engaged in drunken driving on New Year's Eve when he was out with his family. That would be a kind of a private act, and you could go after it. But the moment it turns out that it has something to do with his ability to protect his position in office or his prerogatives and so forth, then it seems to me it's going to fall on the other side of the line. So when the Washington Post comes up and announces that some immunity is given, the headline is simply incorrect. The way this decision starts to read and why the dissent is so angry about the way in which it came out is that the immunity is presumptive and immunity is absolute with respect to stuff that he does, that he can do, that presidents are the kind of things that only presidents can do. And all these official acts start to fall within that kind of a category. And so it seems to me if you're going to try and resurrect this prosecution, it's going to take several months before you can even get it started. And then you're going to be buffed with a sliver of a case, and nobody even knows what that particular sliver is going to look like. In addition, of course, there was the Fisher case, which meant that you couldn't treat this as though it was an adjunct to the various kinds of Dodd-Frank crimes associated with criminal behavior. It turns out that the single biggest word in the history of the English language, as far as that can say is concerned, is otherwise. Because otherwise, you don't understand what's going on in the statute. Forgive the pun. In that case, I think they were absolutely right to say that you do not take a statute which is primarily aimed at financial irregularities, look at the otherwise, and think of it saying, we can start over in Section B.
This is about the Dodd-Frank law that was used in order to prosecute those who invaded the building on January 6th.
Yes.
And the Supreme Court decision is said to be leading to a number of those individuals to be released from jail.
It has to be, because, look, I mean, the reason why that was such an unsavory prosecution is you're talking about EDSA. There is no question that many of these people committed criminal trespasses for which the punishments would be modest. And so what you're trying to do is now to quadruple, multiply by a factor of 10, the prosecution. So a guy walks into the building for 4 minutes, walks out, may or may not have had a sweep with some of the local authorities, goes to jail for 20 years or 10 years, whatever those numbers are going to be. It's just crazy to assume that's the way the system should go.
Four indictments in the case of January 6th against the president turn on that very Dodd-Frank interpretation.
So all that stuff is gone.
Right.
And I mean, and it should be gone. Look, this was essentially a colossal mistake on the part of the Democrats to bring these things. My position has always been, and I've said it from the beginning, is that the president has very serious political liabilities and baggage when he engaged in the kind of conduct that he did on January 6th.
Right.
But the effort to try and legalize this is going to have disruptive effects upon an election and is going to lead to all sorts of complexities that nobody will fully understand. There's nothing about the District of Columbia Circuit Court, which is amateurish. I mean, it's a very liberal court, to be sure, but it's a serious court. And if they can come out the way they did, and Roberts could come out the way he does, and if Sotomayor could essentially basically blast the president and the Chief Justice for ending democracy as we know it, it's quite clear that in uncharted territory, the law is much more plastic and less well understood than we want. This kind of has a kind of an irony because the other major opinion was the Chevron case, or the anti-Chevron case that came down in Loper Bright. And Justice Roberts was at his best form, basically saying we have to look for the one best interpretation of the statute. And now what we know after that is we still have the following problem. People can be going for the best interpretation of the statute and come out in opposite ways, completely, totally, and utterly. Now, that may well be acceptable in various kinds of disputes having to do with whether or not you can put people on boats and require the owner of the boat to pay for their harbor and all the rest of that stuff. But it doesn't work when you're trying to go after the president. So the basic maxim is if you wish to engage in these kinds of political prosecution, your case has to be airtight and so that the legal theory is so strong that everybody on the other side of the particular case agrees that you were right. That's why we managed to get Richard Nixon out of office. So I'll just end on this one note.
30 seconds.
President Truman essentially was held to act beyond his powers when he tried to commandeer these steel mills in the middle of the Korean War. And he did go beyond his power. Does that mean he should be subject to a criminal prosecution for the actions that he took since they were beyond the scope of his power? No, they're totally different tests for invalidating an action and for imposing criminal sanction. And I hope that this brings the case to an end. And so the rather sorry election that we're going to have to face can go forward without the encumbrance of further prosecution.
Professor Richard Epstein, Senior Fellow of the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. I'm John Bell.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/football. Football Fuel Points TC.